those people who come with those expectations towards meditation or skeptics, they are my favorite kind of students because I'm like, yo, sit down, I'm going to teach you. And it's going to be like completely different to everything you say.
Welcome to the Digital Yogi Podcast. I am Charlotte Reynolds, a digital strategy and ads coach. I help ambitious yoga and wellness experts to scale and grow through the power of online. In this podcast, I welcome on guests who have achieved something amazing, and I ask them exactly how they did it so you can learn practical strategies that you can implement into your own business. In today's episode, I'm going to be speaking with Cam Cooney all about the business successes that he saw in 2021. So he's got his own meditation coaching business, and 2021 was an incredible year of growth for him. So I'm going to ask him all about exactly how he did it.
Hey guys, I am Cam and I'm a Vedic meditation teacher here in Glasgow, and I teach Vedic meditation online and in person.
Thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. Start by giving us an overview into what it is that you do and how you ended up getting into this line of work.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a Vedic meditation teacher now since the end of 2019 when I got fully qualified. 2021 has definitely, without a doubt, been my biggest growth personally and even more so professionally. So to kind of like give a little bit of background before we kind of like go into 2021, 2020 and 2019. So I originally became qualified in September 2019 and I got qualified in Indonesia and I moved back to London. And originally I was going to stay in London and I was going to teach with a few other teachers and we were going to create like a larger teacher business, you could say, teaching meditation, obviously. And intuitively at the last minute, I was kind of like, you know what, this doesn't feel right for me. I don't think I want to do this. So I moved up to Glasgow where I've got some family and I couch surfed for a little bit. And I was kind of like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, I've been studying meditation for 2.5 years and I was kind of like, what am I actually going to do? Like, I've not prepared to kind of have my own business, or, you know, I didn't prepare to be in Glasgow. I'd always prepared to kind of be like in this larger teaching community. And so, yeah, I was kind of like, I really started from scratch, and I just kind of started teaching in Glasgow and I kind of like started making my business. And I didn't know, like, I've never created a business before. So I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. And I was kind of just making it up as I was going along. And I ended up, so I was teaching and I was also working as a barista and also as a carer, just to kind of like, you know, obviously make my money and kind of just fund that into my business. I was teaching and then obviously, you know, lockdown happens around the whole world and that kind of like halted my business and I had to kind of move online. And that took my business up like another notch because it gave me the opportunity not just to teach people in Glasgow, but also people around the world, which really took me up a notch, which was quite good. But at that point, you know, sort of mid-2020, I was still only teaching one course a month. So I teach courses and retreats. I was only teaching courses at that point. As I said, I was teaching one a month, which was about 4 or 5 students, and those 4 or 5 students were really just kind of like friends or friends of friends. And I was kind of like, you know, really just like, if they signed up, I was like, oh my god, like someone wants to come and learn from me. So 2020 was kind of like a slow growth. As I said, I wasn't like self-employed, I wasn't fully into my business. Come towards the end of 2020, we started to go into like another lockdown and stuff like that. And if we go back to the beginning of 2021, so January this year was my hardest month in business. I had one student sign up, and that was probably a reflection of the UK going into lockdown. I didn't really know where I was at. Like, I was really fed up with doing caring and the barista. Like, I really just wanted to kind of like be full-time self-employed and teaching. So that was a really, really hard month. And if we look at like over a reflection of the last year, like in that last 11 months, wow, like a huge, huge growth in many positive ways. So, you know, I think we started working together in maybe May, the end of May, I think it was, potentially even April, somewhere around there anyway. And yeah, like I remember just coming to you and I remember like our first session together and I was just like, you were like, I can see that you're really like keen to just get started. And I was like, I just want to like, let's smash this out.
Yeah.
And ever since like probably that first session, my business has just like boomed and I've now got students like all over the world. I've been teaching retreats. I do about 5 courses a month, and then plus private students as well. And, you know, I'm self-employed now. I don't have any side jobs or anything like that. I've got my own meditation studio, and I get people travel all around from Scotland all the way just to Glasgow just to learn from me, which is amazing.
Wow.
It all comes back to just kind of like, you know, probably that first session we had together. But, you know, the things that I learned in that 3-4 months has really kind of just laid out the foundations for my business. Because I remember coming to you and you were saying so much jargon to me, like, I was just like, I don't know what a fucking USP is. I don't know what's a call to action, you know, and a funnel, like what? So yeah, like looking back, like I was purely just making my business up as I was going along. I was kind of like, yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll put a course on that weekend. Like, you know, and now it's kind of like, yeah, people come to me, which is amazing. And it's exactly where I want to be, you know, and it just continues every month to grow and grow and grow and grow, which is amazing.
Yeah, and I've been absolutely loving watching, like continuing to sort of observe your business and how it's still growing and changing. Every time I see you post on stories about another sold out workshop or retreat, I'm just like, yeah, absolutely good. Love yeah. it. So you went from your teaching meditation as being a side hustle, like a side project while you're still working part time. And obviously now you've been able to take it completely full time. What is the best thing about being a business owner and being your own boss?
I mean, there's so many benefits to it. You know, it really is like everything's on my terms now. You know, I remember like the jobs that I used to work as a carer and as a barista, as I said, and just kind of like going into those jobs. And I like by the end of it, I had no enthusiasm for them because I was kind of like, I just want to teach. Like I can work like a 12-hour shift caring and then go and teach a class. And by the end of that 12-hour shift of caring, I was so like dejected from life. And then I'd go and teach a class for like half an hour or an hour. And I was just absolutely buzzing. Like I couldn't wait to get into it. Whereas now, like I'm just constantly buzzing. And I guess that kind of like transmutes or translates across to the way I teach as well. Because it's my passion. And that was always, you know, it's always been my goal to go into full-time self-employment and running my own business and teaching, you know, because that is my passion. So it is purely just living with my passion and, like, you know, like working for yourself is just amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. I can totally relate. You know, when I first went self-employed, I did do a little bit of contracting at the beginning when I was just starting to teach yoga. Oh my gosh. I would just sneak off. I would go into the hallways and start practicing, planning out my classes, sneaking off, and I'd be practicing the flows in the corridor, just like my brain was elsewhere. I was done with corporate life. I was just going through the motions.
Yeah, definitely. It's amazing just to work for yourself. And it's kind of like when you see someone kind of sign up to a course and, like, you know, you make money from doing something that you love, there's kind of like, and I'm sure everybody who's works for themselves, you just do this kind of like little happy dance. It's kind of, fuck yeah, yes.
Yeah.
You know, like made money doing something that I love, you know, so it's amazing.
So I want to talk about some of the things that we worked through in our coaching sessions, because there's going to be a lot of people who are maybe in the same situation as you were, where they were like, well, I really want to give this a go. And some of the things that we work through might be helpful for other people. I mean, I guess the first thing I would ask is, how important do you think it is to get super clear on who your people are? So I know people speak about a niche or who are you trying to target. How important was it for you to get really clear on who are the kind of people that you want to be speaking to and who do you want to be your clients eventually? By speaking to everybody, you end up speaking to nobody.
It always kind of goes back to, like, before I was even a teacher, I come from Australia. I left school when I was like 14 and I started working on building sites as a tradesman back in Australia. And I'm like, you know, being in that kind of environment as a young kid, then kind of growing up and, like, you know, being in that environment is not really, it's a man's world. Do you know what I mean? There's lots of slang. There's lots of, like, you know, the language around that kind of thing to kind of being a meditation teacher is very, very different. Very, very different, you know, and meditation, like I found meditation in a difficult place in my life and it really, really helped me. And it kind of like ignited a little bit of a fire in me to kind of like go and explore meditation more, because back in like 2014, when I came across meditation, it was like nobody knew about it at all. So I started exploring meditation more and more, and I started going to like courses, retreats, and going and sitting in front of some like really, respectable teachers around the world. And the more and more kind of like these teachers that I could, like, you know, listen to and all these different techniques, the one thing that kind of like that I picked up was they used a lot of like spiritual jargon or really fluffy, flowery language. And like, I could sit there and it would land for me because I was so passionate about like learning about this kind of stuff. But I really wanted to give meditation to the people around me, you know, and I couldn't take that spiritual jargon and then go to the lunchroom on the construction site and be like, boys, here, fucking consciousness, integrative state of things. You know, like they would just be like, oh, for fuck's sake, Cam, starting that hippie shit again. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't land with them. So the more I started, like I went for 3 years for going to different courses and retreats and stuff like that. And it was like a point when I decided I was going to become a teacher. I kind of noticed like there was probably my people were still in that lunchroom on the construction site, you know, and they were never going to go to those classes. So I kind of like made myself like a little bit of a bridge almost for these people to kind of like, you know, and I found that was my audience. So when we started working together, you were like, you know, get clear on people. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess they are my people, you know, and it's not just like that lunchroom at the construction site, you know, there was people in the, you know, barista job, there's people in the caring job who also had no experience of meditation or had very big stereotypes of it. And they had like, you know, the language was a big thing for me. Like, you know, their language didn't float with this kind of fluffy, flowery language that these spiritual teachers were giving out. So I guess like finding my people was really kind of just like being authentic to myself and being like, hey, like here, cut the bullshit, like that some of these teachers are saying, and here is like the proper stuff, you know? And it was kind of just like that. That's how I kind of found my people, just crossing that bridge and just being authentic to myself, really. You know, I didn't try to, someone who maybe wasn't part of that, I wasn't going to try and sell meditation to them. It was very much just being like standing firm in my authentic self and being like, hey, this is fucking meditation. I'll give it to you this way and you can go off and do what you want from it. But I'm not going to pretend to put that hat on and be somebody else and just to kind of, you know, help you out. And that is like the best thing ever really for my own teaching abilities since then.
And I think that is definitely a big part of the appeal that you have, is that you do swear, you don't fluff your words. I really liked the copy that you have on your website that's like no awkward cross-legged positions, no orange robes. You know, it's kind of you're challenging what people sometimes might see as a barrier to starting on their meditation journey. You're kind of saying like, don't worry, you don't need to do any of that here. Do you think that's why people come to work with you over maybe definitely some of the other options out there?
Definitely. Like when I came across meditation in 2014, it was nowhere near as mainstream as it is like in today's age, you know? And still to this day, there's still that such a strong stigma and stereotype towards meditation that you need to have like bald head, orange robes, big fat Buddha belly, sit wrapped like a pretzel. And it's just kind of like, that's like, if you don't have any kind of experience, that's the first thing. Like if you jump on Google and go into images and put in meditation, every single pose is going to be someone in a lotus pose. And for someone who has no experience
on a rock,
yeah, sat on a rock with a waterfall behind them, maybe they got some crystals on them, incense burning in the background. And it's not that at all, you know. But like someone who has no experience of meditation, they are instantly going to stereotype that and go, I can't sit like that. I can't do meditation. And it's also kind of like, you know, you hear it all the time. I can't meditate. I can't clear my mind. And it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, that's not what it's about. Like, you know, so it is kind of like that's what I do try and challenge. And those people who come with those expectations towards meditation or skeptics, they are my favorite kind of students, because I'm like, yo, sit down, I'm gonna teach you, and it's gonna be like completely different to everything you say. And that's I enjoy that, you know, I really do enjoy that. So it's good.
Amazing. And let's talk as well about your different offerings. I know you did mention the word funnel before. Yes. About that kind of journey you want to take people on through your different offerings. So I do think that's something that it's important to consider, you know, yeah, when you are building your suite of offerings, how they all work together and how you move people from one to the next. So give us a little overview in the different ways that you work with your clients.
Of course. Yeah. So I remember when you first mentioned a funnel to me and I'm like, what is a funnel? Like, what has that got to do with anything related to meditation? But it's like, probably, it's the foundation to everything of like my whole business in many ways. So the way it kind of like you know, I teach is I put on free sessions called Your First Session. And that is purely for people who are all levels of meditation or no experience in meditation can come to this session. It's like an hour session where I kind of introduce myself, introduce them to Vedic meditation, do a guided meditation. And then from there, whether they want to or whether they feel like they're ready to, they can then step into a course, which is a 3-day course where I teach meditation properly to them, teach Vedic meditation over 3 days. And then even from there, they can then go up to retreats and, like, you know, obviously they get access to all of my group meditations and stuff like that. So it's kind of like, you know, the levels to it, like the funnel to it is at the top of the funnel, they come in and they come to the Your First Session and they get the kind of experience and get to meet me and kind of decide for themselves. Then as it kind of funnels down into kind of the courses, and that's kind of where I make my money, you could say, or, like, you know, my business. And then obviously retreats and stuff like that. And it keeps going further and further down from that, where they can kind of, like, you know, enhance and advance their practice. But yeah, I remember, like, before I even came to you, I was doing Your First Sessions and I was just doing them one-to-one. And, like, I think I was charging £25 for them. And it was purely just to, like, see, and I would get, like, one every 6 months. And I remember having it, like, on my booking system, like, you know, you could do one literally every hour of the week. And it was whoever, like, booked in for it, I would just drop everything for this person, you know? And, you know, like, a conversion rate of probably, like, those people signing up, like, you know, maybe out of, like, 5, you know, maybe 3 of them would sign up. And the other 2, I would just be like, oh, they don't like me. Oh, I'm so upset. You know, they don't want to come to my course or anything like that. Whereas when I started working with you, it was like, you know, put these on, make them free, you know, then people can come in and, like, you know, they can decide for themselves. And yeah, like, that's helped out massively, just getting, and it gets people in the door, you know, and it gets that. And that's the best bit about it, is people get to meet me and get to, like, try the technique out. And that's purely what it is, you know? So that funnel, yeah, I love that word. It's like, you know, it's, and I love looking at other people's funnels now. Do you know what I mean?
Like, oh, do you? Like,
yeah,
a funnel.
I do. Yeah, I'm kind of, how are they doing it? It's so interesting just to see, like, you know, how that works. But, you know, as I said, it's the foundations to your business. And sometimes, like, when I, like, you know, when I first met you and you mentioned it, I was almost kind of, like, scared of the word funnels. And I was kind of like, is that too salesy? Like, you know, I don't want to be a salesperson. Yeah. But it's the foundations to your business. And if you want to have a successful business, you've got to have these things in place. So yeah, it's hugely beneficial in many ways.
So you basically took one of your paid offerings and made it free. Like, what about if somebody said, should you be giving up your time completely free? Like, offering, was it people get access to a 45-minute session with you completely free of charge? Like, what about if somebody said, that doesn't seem to make much sense? What would you say to that?
I mean, that's purely up to them, but, like, it's hugely beneficial to me because it gets people in the door, which is what you need in your business, you know, in this, like, you need to get your name out there, and it just, it gets people in the door. And that's purely, like, word of mouth is obviously the strongest way of growing your business, but, you know, without the word of mouth, how do you get to those people? Do you know what I mean? So you need to get people in the door. So obviously having it as a free thing is the most beneficial way to get people in the door, because, like, people, like, you know, if you're doing ads or whatever like that, pardon me, most people, like, if you put it up for, like, £25, like, as I was, most people would probably look at that and go, I'm not paying £25 for that. Do you know what I mean? So by making it free, then people can even, like, they'll go, oh yeah, I might do that. Whether they're fully intentionally going to actually do it, you know, it gets their name and they're like, it might just plant the seed for them. It might actually not come to the session, but it plants a seed for them that later down the line that they might actually be like, actually, you know what? I'm going to try that meditation out again. I'm going to try that. So it doesn't always, you know, work like a click of a fingers and they come in and work like that. But sometimes later down the months, they come back again. They're like, hey, I'm ready. I think I'm ready to do that now. So yeah, it's just super beneficial to kind of start with a free thing, I guess.
Yeah. And, like, what an amazing free thing to offer, because often when we think about, let's call them, like, lead magnets, or, you know, that first point of contact where someone gets to learn a little bit about you and your business, you know, how valuable that someone can sit down and get a little taster of what you do, get to meet you, understand how you teach. I think it's a lot easier for someone to sign up to that versus, like, oh, download my meditation checklist. Not saying there's no value in that, but obviously you can see the difference in the appeal of, yeah, of one versus the other. And I think also there's an interesting thing to about if your first offering to someone is like sign up for a call, like that can be a little bit intimidating maybe for someone. If someone's just found you, someone said, oh, like check out Cam Cooney and his like he's an amazing meditation teacher. And the first way that somebody can contact you is jump on a call. You might think, oh, I don't know. That's a bit out of my comfort zone, because they aren't yet at that stage where like they know who you are, but they don't really have a relationship with you.
Exactly.
Yet.
Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. Whereas kind of getting them in like the your first sessions that I do, they're, you know, they're group sessions. So they can kind of come in and like you know, they can kind of just sit relaxed, you know, and wait for someone else. Like I'll always break the ice first, you know what I mean, like that, and kind of like try and make it lighthearted for everybody to kind of feel comfortable. And yeah, like obviously doing it one-to-one, it is very much kind of like, yeah, oh, this is a bit awkward. So yeah, it definitely is so beneficial just to do it as like a group, your free session.
Yeah, and I think we can also sense there's like a sense of now, like I don't know how I'm going to describe it, but the way that you're saying, right, before you used to drop everything, someone's booked on a call, you drop everything, and obviously that's quite time consuming because you're having to then take that time out of your day to speak with one individual person. This way it's kind of like, here are my sessions, they're at a time that suit me, because obviously your business has to work for you as well. You can't be kind of dropping everything every 5 minutes anytime you get any kind of new lead coming in. And also you get to speak to more people all in one go, so it's a lot more scalable as well.
Definitely it's like, you know, this is on my terms, this is the time it's at, like you can come to it if you're committed, you know. And like, look, I like, and you know this as well, and people who do this is like a similar thing, you know, there's always going to be dropout rates. And you know, like out of like maybe the 10-15 spots that I have, you know, maybe like 6-7 show up, and there's always going to be people who drop out. And keeping it kind of like maybe going back to like the authentic, keeping it authentic, I always say to like people from the first 5 minutes, in some roundabout way, I'll always say like, hey, like you've either found me through social media or a word of mouth or something like that. You'll know then, you've probably looked at my website, you've probably looked at my social media, you'll probably know that I swear a lot. So if you're offended by swear words, now is the best time to just leave a session, because it's going to be fucking heaps of them, right? And it that kind of breaks the ice in some like many ways. And it kind of like, then they can kind of relax in kind of, oh, okay, yeah, no, like it's not a sales pitch or anything like that. So yeah, there is like, it is the best way to kind of have these kind of like sessions in some way.
And I mean, from what I can tell, you don't seem to be having too much trouble these days getting new people in the door. Your first sessions are selling out over and over again. And actually something that people do struggle with is getting those new leads in, is reaching new people or attracting their people to them. So in what ways are you doing that in your business that is seeing success? How are people finding you?
So like when, I think if we go back to like when we first worked together, we started, you know, I put these sessions on every 2 weeks, and it was like, you know, we started doing the ads, obviously. And that kind of like, that made my kind of maybe net, I don't know if that's the right word, like, you know, it made my audience, my reach, I guess that's probably the right word, much, much wider. And we only did the ads, I think, for 6 weeks, and they've been off ever since. And since then, it's purely just been like word of mouth. And like, obviously we did little kind of like dark arts SEO stuff to kind of like, you know, to get us bumped up on the Google listing. So people find me through Google, people find me through social media and word of mouth. And it's purely just been off the back, the growth off the back of doing those ads. I think we perfected the ads at like the perfect time. Obviously I moved into my studio, I went dive straight into, you know, full-time self-employed, and the ads were like just flowing at that time. And it really just like, my audience went from like friends of friends to kind of just like boom, way out. And as I said, we only did it for 6 weeks, and we just turned it off from there. And ever since then, it's just been growth after growth after growth, which is amazing.
That's super interesting, isn't it? That it was almost a bit of a catalyst. It's not necessarily about the ads in the immediate time that they're live, saying that I'm getting all of these leads immediately through the ads, but it's that snowball effect. Then you've got your name out in front of more people, and then they're talking about it, and you're not actually running ads now.
No, not at all.
Still seeing the ripple effect of
that
burst of exposure to irrelevant.
It's funny. Like, my business has grown in, like, so I teach online and I also teach in person. And my student base has, like, obviously is all around the world now, which is amazing. And, like, it was never like that before we started working together through the ads. And my student base has kind of, like, grown off in a few different cities around the world. And it's purely started with just an ad. And someone kind of, like, joined a field first session, went to the three-day course, loved it, told a friend, that friend told that friend, that friend told that friend, that friend told that friend. And the next thing was, it's like, boom, like, you know, I've got, you know, 10, 15 students in a city I've never even been to. And I'm kind of like, wow. And it just kind of, like, the growth off the back of that is huge.
Nice. I love it. So let's talk about selling. When you are a business owner, it's one of those hats that you have to wear, salesperson, but it can feel a little bit icky, uncomfortable selling what you do. Do you enjoy selling, and have you got a little bit more comfortable with it as you do it more?
Yes, hugely. Like, I remember when we first started working together and you're like, I am your coach and I have no idea what the fuck you're doing. And I was kind of like, right, okay, so like, you need to start selling, like, you need to kind of, like, make it obvious what you're doing. And I remember you gave me, like, the selling in the DMs chat, and that was just, like, huge for me, like, because pre-working together and stuff like that, like, oh man, like, people would message me, like, hey, I'm interested in your course, and I'd be like, here's a price, like, here's the next course, like, and I would just like dump them with all this information, and they kind of almost like run away and just, like, kind of hide and kind of be like, right, are they going to sign up? And be so kind of like, oh God, did I sell that? You know, did that work? Where now it's kind of like, it's just conversation. It doesn't need to be like this salesy, I don't need to put a suit on and walk around with a briefcase and be a salesman. Do you know what I mean? It's purely just like an open conversation. So when people are like, the one thing I really got from selling in the DMs, or like, and it doesn't have to be in the DMs, it can be in open conversation with people, is purely just like making it a conversation. It doesn't need to be a sales thing. So when someone says, like, you know, oh, I'm interested in meditation, it's like, oh, hey, cool. Like, what's your experience? You know, and where did you learn? And what kind of technique is it you do? And kind of like building that kind of friendship or relationship with them. And then kind of being like, yeah, like, I could teach you this. And, you know, I've taught this someone similar, like, and they had the same, they came to me for the same reasons. And now, like, you know, they're like absolutely thriving, they're glowing, and they, you know, they're loving their meditation. And it's kind of like, and these are all like serious, these are real stories that I'm giving to these people. It doesn't have to be like, I'm selling fucking snake oil to them or anything like that, because that is a serious thing that I'm actually doing. So it doesn't even feel like I'm selling half the time now. I'm just kind of having a conversation with people, and it builds relationships, and they feel instantly comfortable and kind of like, okay, yeah, like, maybe I'll give that a crack. And then come to a free, I'm always like, hey, I've got a free session next Wednesday. If you want to come to it, like, by all means, like, come along. And I'm sure there'll be people on the session who have got similar experience or similar kind of, you know, maybe problems in their life, and, you know, they'll be looking for the same thing through the meditation. So yeah, by all means, come along and just kind of leave it with that. And like, it's up to them then if they want to kind of, you know, take that next step. It's not me kind of like, come in, please. Here's the link, like, sign up, or I'll book you in. Like, I remember you, like, before working with you, I used to book people in all the time. I'd be like, don't even worry, I'll book you in. Like, you know, you just pay and I'll book you in. Like, because the booking system's like, oh, it's all. And now I'm just like, hey, there's like, you know, if you want to come along, and people go and make that, you know, decision for themselves. So yeah, like, yeah, the selling salesman stuff is, it doesn't feel cringy at all. But I remember it did used to feel cringy. And I remember you always saying to me as well, like, you know, you need to post things on your story or on your feed to tell people that you're doing it. And, you know, like, part of like people going to do it is they might read it, but not take any action. But then if you post it again in a few days later or a week later, then they might be ready. They might be in a better place, or they might actually take attention to it. And again, it just plants a seed that they might not actually do it now, but maybe again, in a few months time, they will. And yeah, like, once I kind of like flipped my mindset on that, it was kind of like, oh, you know, probably people, and still to this day, like, you know, call of action was a word that you always used to say to me. And I'm like, what the fuck is that at the beginning? But like that call to action. Yeah, call to action is such a big thing now. Like, you know, putting some kind of details up in your story and the link bit on Instagram now, where like, I remember you think you had to be like 10K followers before you could put a link in or a swipe up or something. Now you can put links in, which is the easiest call to action ever. Like, you know, if someone's sitting on their couch and sees like, oh, free session tonight. Fuck yeah, I might do that. There's a free session, click on the link, boom, book themselves in, easy. And yeah, obviously like when we first started working together, like people just do it all the time. And I was like, this is amazing. It slowed down since that step, like since then, like it's not still like, you know, 5, 6, 7 people signing up every time I post something, but I still get one every now and then. And that one is better than nothing. Do you know what I mean? And if I only post it 3 times a week, that's three new leads, you could say, in some sense, to kind of bring people into the meditation. So yeah, it's it's a good one. Definitely doesn't feel as cringy as it was.
Yeah. I mean, it can feel, oh, I don't want to be too pushy and I don't want to look desperate. I don't want to annoy people.
You want to annoy people.
Yeah. I don't want to annoy people, but yeah. there's that fine line between like being cool and like being very subtle and just being invisible, like people just not even knowing what it is, how they can work with you. And we know that people are distracted. We like to think that when people are consuming our content, they're really giving it their full undivided attention, but you know, often we're watching TV at the same time, or we're doing something else. We're not really paying attention and we need to see things multiple times. So it's kind of like a barrier to push through of going, I'm not annoying people. These people are following me by choice. Exactly. And so it's okay to talk about it.
That's so true. And I think we had a little bit of a barrier there when we first started working together, in a sense that I think my barrier was like, I was like, this is my personal page, but it's also my business page. And I don't want like my friends to kind of get like, you know, think that I'm putting up all the same stuff all the time. And I kind of thought like, oh, fuck it, they can unfollow me if they don't want to fucking like give a fuck. Do you know what I mean? And then like all the new followers that kind of come in, I'm like, I don't view them as kind of like following them because they might want to be friends or any sense. I'm kind of like, no, like purely this, you can see it says Cam Cooney meditation, and every single fucking post on my social media or my website is about meditation. So they're purely coming in obviously because they're interested in meditation. It is purely just like flipping the mindset on that sort of stuff. Again, like the stereotype to meditation, and you know, people come with those stereotypes and stigmas. People come with those stereotypes and stigmas to probably like marketing and selling. But you flip the mindset out of it and you actually like learn it. It's not like that at all.
Isn't it funny how we let these people that are so irrelevant, like from, it'll be like an ex or a friend from school, and if you really think about it, you know, when you're about to post something, you're like, oh, I wonder what that person might think. Yeah. And they're just so not relevant at all.
It's a toxic thing to get into, isn't it? But like when you become aware, it's like, what am I doing? You're right. The one, it's either an ex or it's always someone that you went to school with that you haven't seen for like 10 years. And you're like, what
are they going to think?
Exactly. Why am I worried about them? Yeah, exactly. It is. But you know, that's part and parcel of it, isn't it?
Okay. And let's talk a little bit about your confidence and that fuck it kind of attitude that you have with your business. Cause I think that's absolutely the key to how you've managed to do so much this year. It's just like going headfirst into the business, trying things out without that fear of it not working. Yep. You know, tell how, where did that come from? Have you always had that drive?
Probably not, no. As a teenager, I was quite anxious and very angry in my own kind of ways, quite shelled up. And I was always kind of like worried about like what other people would think about me and, you know, doing things and stuff like that. Probably like I've been away from home for 7 years now and traveling and kind of just, I think it was when I started traveling and kind of like spread my wings a little bit and kind of realized that I can leave my home city and now I can kind of do whatever the fuck I want. And, you know, and no one's, yeah, I can enjoy things myself. I don't have to worry about what, you know, my home city or anything like that is worried about in many senses. So I think it started about 7 years ago when I started traveling and I kind of had the power for myself to kind of be like, you know what, I don't want to live here anymore. I'm going to go live in another city and I'll go and do that. And I guess that kind of like has just always been my attitude since I've been traveling now. And I've done lots of things, lots of things. I'm sure we'll definitely get into this conversation of things where people kind of like raise their eyebrows and go, what are you doing, Cam? Like, why are you going to do that? And I like see it from a different, flip my mindset on it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do that. And I'm going to make that fucking work because that's the way I roll. There's been quite a few things that I've done. And almost kind of like when people raise their eyebrows at me doing stuff, when I first mentioned that I'm going to do something, when people raise their eyebrows or question it or almost judge me in a way, I'm kind of like, right, cool. Challenge accepted. Fuck it. I will prove you wrong. I've done that a lot this year in many ways. So yeah, it transfers into my business in many different ways because I've definitely taken some leaps of faith where I've gone, you know what? Fuck it. I'll either worst case scenario, I will learn from the lesson of it. If it works, amazing. And it's something I want to do. Whereas if it doesn't, I will learn from it.
Let's talk as well now about Movember. Hmm. So this is obviously something that you did in November. You created, call it a movement maybe, in your community. Tell us about the Movember mm-hmm. event.
Yeah, so the Movember, for those who don't know what Movember is, it's a charity for men's mental health or men's prostate cancer, and it's a charity purely just for that. And it's been around for years and years, and it's you grow a mustache, and that's kind of like the charity and kind of like the angle on it. I've always done Movember over the years, never really taken it seriously until this year when it kind of like really hit home for me in many, many ways. So earlier in the year, my big cousin Seamus took his own life and we used to work together back in Australia. And that really hit home. Like I couldn't go home and I couldn't go and be with my family and kind of like had to watch his funeral through 1 o'clock in the morning through a computer screen. And that was really hard to kind of see my family and stuff like that. And it really, obviously, that hit home and made Movember, men's mental health, really personal to me. And I decided fuck it. I'm going to do Movember in a big way this year. And I'm going to take it fucking seriously. And I never planned obviously to do that or do any kind of more charity work. Earlier in the year, I did a lot of charity work where I raised a lot of money for a homeless charity by sleeping on the streets in the middle of winter for 5 nights and created a film and raised a lot of money for a charity. So after that, I was kind of not doing any more charity work. That's me done. I need a rest from it. And obviously then Seamus and I was kind of like, right, this is personal to me now. Right. And I want to make Movember a big one. And similar to the homeless thing, I was kind of like, right, I could grow a mustache and just get donations myself. And yeah, probably make about 100 quid, probably donations from my mom, my dad and my granny, and maybe my neighbor or something like that. And I was kind of like, right, no, I can do this in a big fucking way and I will do it in a bigger way. So I decided that I would create a team and I called the team Mindset Movement. Now you can do Movember in many different ways. You can grow a mustache, you can host an event, or you can do movement for Movember. And movement for Movember is you can walk or run or cycle or swim a certain amount of kilometers and get donations that way. And I was kind of like, oh, they all sound pretty good.
I didn't even know about the movement. I just thought it was grow a mustache.
Literally, that's what everyone, yeah. So I was kind of like, I like all three of them. I was like, I'm going to do all fucking three. And this was actually towards the end of we were working together because I remember mentioning it to you and you just went, your eyebrows raised. And you went, oof, okay. So I contacted Movember and I was like, hey guys, I want to fucking do this in a couple months. I want to do some really big stuff for Movember. Can someone get back to me and we can discuss it? And I'd want to have a connection point with you guys. So this is serious. And it's from the early days, I was going to walk from the top of Scotland to the bottom of England. And I was just going to do that for the whole of Movember. And I thought, I could do that. And then when I searched it, I was kind of like, oh shit, that takes 3 months. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to do that. So then it was kind of like, I was going to do all these different stretches and go to different cities and do meditation classes along the way and meditation workshops and do meditation for men's mental health. And I contacted all these different cities and gyms and barbers and cafes and yoga studios who might want to do a meditation workshop. Got one person that came back to me out of probably 20. And I was kind of like, right, this is tough, right? Okay, let's strip this back and let's just do the things that are going to work. So I decided that I would walk from Glasgow, where I am, to Edinburgh. And then 2 days later, walk back Then the next week I would go down to Manchester and I would
walk. How far is Glasgow to Edinburgh?
In kilometres, it's about 65 kilometres. Then the next week I would go down to Manchester and I would walk from Old Trafford to Anfield in Liverpool. And then 2 days later, walk back. And then the following week, which would be the last week of November, I would go to London and I would walk all around the football stadiums, which is all around London, the outskirts. And, you know, I started telling people that and people just like, fuck, okay, Cam, that's a lot, you know. And I told Movember and I remember their reaction as well. And they're like, that's a lot. Okay. Yeah. That you can see that, you know, you're keen to do this. And, you know, and then I said as well, at the end of the month, I'm going to run a massive event and called Mindset. I'm going to get my mate who owns a gym and I get him to do a workout. And then I'll get my other mate who's a yoga and martial arts teacher to do yoga and martial arts. And then I'll do a meditation and we'll have a DJ there and we'll have like an open bar and we'll get all these cool brands in. I was like, you know, I was creating all of this while also still running my business as well through Movember. So yeah, and I created a team and I said to everybody who joined the team, I was like, you can come into the team Mindset Movement and you can set yourself an own, your own target of walking or running or cycling and get donations for yourself. And it goes to your tally, but it also goes to the collective tally of Mindset Movement. And at the end of the month, we had raised over $6,500, which was pretty, like, I'm proud of that. I'm definitely proud of that, you know. And the walks, so I didn't train going into doing any of the walks. I didn't prepare.
Did you buy like good walking shoes and stuff?
Yeah, I bought good walking shoes. I bought all the kit. Lululemon decided to deck me out, which was amazing.
Nice.
all these like cool brands as well come forward and we're like, yeah, we'll definitely, like, you know, sort you out. And I remember doing the first walk from Glasgow to Edinburgh and it took me 14 and a half hours. And it was fucking brutal. My legs were like mashed potatoes by the end of it. And I remember thinking, like, I've got a day off in Edinburgh and then I've got to do this all the way back. And by like the end of it, I was like, I couldn't walk the length of myself. So it wasn't an image in that. Like, you know, I was kind of like, right, no, just power through, do it. And then I was kind of like, actually, no, that's not the image that I'm trying to do for this. I'm doing this for men's mental health. And the whole idea between men's mental health is that we don't speak out and we don't talk about our feelings. And I am fucking struggling physically right now. So the message I was like, right, cool. You know what? Fuck it. I will go on social media and I will ask people to chip in towards this and get people to do it. And I put it out to my community first. And my idea was to cover 100 kilometers. And between, like, you know, a few people, that's doable. And we ended up covering close to 300 kilometers. And just by, and it was, again, people all around the world reaching out to me. And then I put it on social media and it was people, again, just reaching out to me. Cam, I'll do a 5K. Cam, I'll do this. One of my students, Stefano, bless his soul, he's over 75. I think he's 78 this year. Did a 5K, you know, he ran 5K and sent me a little selfie of him on his run. And I thought, fuck me, man. Like, that's amazing. And they all got, like, you know, that came in with more donations. And yeah, it was like, that was the whole idea. It created this massive unity between it. And it was huge. It was really, really beneficial to kind of see that. And then the event at the end of the month was just a nice cherry on top. It was a nice way to kind of celebrate Movember and kind of like, again, bring people to an event where they maybe don't have experience of yoga or martial arts or a Metcon workout or meditation. And they kind of experience that for themselves in a cool environment and with a DJ and making it enjoyable. And again, we had brands there who, you know, were offering out really cool holistic things. And it was just, it was a really beneficial. And the things that have grown off the back of that, you know, almost a month and a bit later are still growing off it. And there's some really exciting news that's, you know, maybe once this podcast is out or just after that I'll be bringing out from it, which has grown off the back of it, which is massive, massive. And Movember were amazing. Like, as I said, like I reached out to them about 4 months before it. And at first they were kind of, okay, yeah, let's see if this guy's serious, you know? And yeah, they are like my good pals now. I've got a touch point with them and within the charity and they were really, really supportive, which is amazing. So yeah. And like in amongst all of that, I finished at my last walk in London. I finished at Emirates Stadium, which is Arsenal's stadium in London. And that's Seamus, as he supported Arsenal. And I ended up coming across a wall called Celebration Corner, where you can get people's plaques and, you know, put a name on there and have their name at the stadium. And I ended up talking to my family and we've all organized to get Seamus a plaque at Emirates Stadium, which is, and his name will always be there. And like, you know, if I hadn't done that walk, like, we never would have come across that.
So you've had an amazing year, and like, what an incredible way to end it as well.
Definitely. Yeah, it's been an adventure.
And if somebody wanted to get into meditation and wanted to try one of your sessions or courses, how would they do so?
Yeah, so like obviously coming to social media, Cam Cooney Meditation is where you're probably going to find me most active. From there, you know, you can suss out whether my vibe, my teaching style is kind of vibes with you, and, you know, like jump on my website from there and sign up to your first session and come and meet me, get an introduction to Vedic meditation, try out guided meditation. And, you know, then from there, if you want to, you can do the 3-day course where I'll teach you the technique properly to become your own meditator.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
So much good stuff in that episode. I'm going to link Cam's socials in the show notes. And I'm very aware that that episode did sound a little bit like some kind of paid endorsement for my coaching services, which it very much was not. However, if you are interested in getting some one-to-one support with your business in the form of coaching, then absolutely get in touch with me. You can send me a DM on Instagram or have a look on my website for all of the information about how I work with clients.